The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network on the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Miller Lite.
If you're a fan, let's be honest, this week stinks. No Bears football. You got to watch all the other games. You know, it's the one time during the season where if you want to get married, you can pick that Sunday and get married if you're not following the Bears. But for players, I think they like this week. It's a chance to regroup, get refreshed, go on vacation, albeit for a couple of days. But nevertheless, it is a big deal when you're working every single day from essentially July on. Zach Zaidman with you. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority here at Hallis Hall. Pleased to be joined by a guy who stepped onto the scene in a big-time way in Jacksonville, Corey Wooten, as well as a guy that Jay Cutler now calls the quote-unquote wild card of the Bears offense. That would be the versatile tight end, Matt Spaeth. Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's going on, Zach?
I'm fantastic. All right, before we get to the football stuff, earlier this week, Israel Adonijé, using the social media power of Twitter, tweets out a bill of, I believe, $38,000 and change from a local steakhouse in Chicago. It was rookie night for the D-line, right? And I was talking with Shea McClellan about this. McClellan's looking with Ashton Whiteside, who's the other rookie in terms of the defensive line, and he's going, pay for this. I mean, we got to split $19,000 each. I mean, how are we going to do this? Take us through what happened. It was a joke. They didn't have to do it, but explain to us the genesis of how that worked out.
So we went to the steakhouse downtown, and you know, all the D-line was there. And before we got the bill, Izzy had motioned for the waiter to come over, and he was whispering to him, like, you know, do a fake bill, like put $38,000 in there. And we're going to play a prank on him. So when the check came, Shea opened it and his mouth almost dropped. He was like, bro, oh, $38,000. And we're all just dying laughing. He's like, my card can only go up to $24,000.
Right, that's what he was saying. He's saying, I don't know if my debit card can handle this. You know?
So Izzy said, you know, he's like, just pay what you can, and I'll pay the other half, and you just write me a check tomorrow. And he's just like, but then we told him, you know, showed him the real check, and he was like, whew.
Which was still a lot of money, but chump change compared to $38,000. And what do you tip on $38,000? I think that's about, $7,500 in terms of the tip, somewhere in that neighborhood?
Something about that. If that was the real bill, that waiter, you know, would have got a great tip that night.
You know, it was a couple of years ago. I think Dez Bryant, when he was a rookie with the Cowboys, didn't he get a $54,000 bill at a restaurant? But that's because he earned it.
He offered to take the whole offense, I think, or the whole team maybe, or something.
You know why,
like that.
Right?
So it was kind of his own fault, I believe.
He didn't carry Roy Williams, the ex-Bear, right. He didn't carry his shoulder pads at the time, and they showed him. You when you're a rookie, you just kind of want to stay quiet. You know, that's the thing with Shea McClellan. He's done it the right way. He's kept his mouth shut.
Definitely.
He's done it the way. Yeah, exactly. So imagine his surprise.
It was funny to me when I heard it, because a couple years ago we did the same thing to one of our rookies in Pittsburgh and had him bring out the fake bill and watch his jaw drop. So it was pretty funny.
How long do you let it last? Before, like, the funny thing to me is McClellan and Whiteside were actually talking about how they would split it up, right?
Yeah, I think Shea was texting his fiance too. Like, what do I do? So it's pretty funny. So we let it ride for about, you know, 3-4 minutes, and his heart was beating, his face got all red. So it was funny. It was priceless.
We're having some good times here on Bears All Access with Corey Wooten and Matt Spaeth. When you guys were rookies, what was the worst thing that was done to you? Obviously, Matt, you were in Pittsburgh, so it was a different type of atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, we always had a little bit of rookie hazing in Pittsburgh, and nothing too bad. You had to do like a rookie show at the end of training camp. All the rookies had to get together and kind of put on like a skit show, which basically led to making fun of coaches and players and different things that had happened. We also had to do the rookie dinner, where you take your position up to a nice steak dinner. And then we also, what doesn't happen here is, we had to get breakfast for guys every Saturday morning or every day before the game.
Now, here, don't you guys have to get donuts? Right? Doesn't someone have to get donuts from McDonald's? I think
it's Shea gets us bagels by the book and Dunkin' Donuts every Saturday. So that's been pretty much that. And then rookie night this yesterday, actually.
It's standard fare. Now, when you were rookie, Corey, they weren't as hard on you as they were last night on McClellan.
You know, I don't even think anybody here on the team, you know, is hard on anybody. We have good vets, you know, Izzy and Pep and, you know, Matt Tawina, you know. The only one, Henry, a little bit, you know, gets on him, rags on him a little bit, but everyone else is pretty cool for the most part.
Henry's just mad because I believe this is true. You guys can, and I don't think he shies away from it. There isn't a player on the practice field who gets yelled at more than Henry Melton, right? Is that true?
No.
Hey, Wu could answer that. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. I would say it's probably Henry, you know, because coach loves Henry, but he, you know, loves to hate him at the same time.
Right. What they say is as soon as a coach stops yelling at you, that's when you know you're in trouble. They yell at you if they think you've got talent. And clearly this season, Henry Melton has put the talent on a consistent basis out there for everybody to see. We're having some fun on Bears All Access. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Subway, Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago, and Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. So during this dinner, this would have been the story if not for the fake check, but it was Matt Tawina's birthday, right? You guys.
Yeah,
were, did you? I don't know if you. They tweeted a picture of this too, and I'm telling you, I mean, there's a birthday cake, and then there's a birthday cake for a nose tackle in the Bears. I mean, this cake was unbelievable. Just the slice of the. It looked like a chocolate cake, right?
Yeah.
The slice of the chocolate cake was about the size of me. I mean, that was huge.
Yeah, how was it, Luke?
It was good. You know, we had so many desserts, so much food there. But Matt Tawina had this whole dessert plate. It had the chocolate cake on there, then it had a cheesecake, then it had a butter cake, then it had a strawberry shortcake, and then it had chocolate covered strawberry. So it was like this whole dessert platter.
How much got ate?
Oh, everything got ate. Yeah, D-line, we could eat a lot. So everybody was in there just eating everything.
I can't even imagine what your strength coordinator, your nutrition coordinator, too, Rusty Jones, was, because you know somehow this picture got put in his office. I mean, thank goodness you guys have a couple of weeks before your next game.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's the bye week, so you know when rookie night, it's kind of like the one day out of the week where you really get to go in and kind of have like a cheat meal, and that was definitely. Cheat meal for us.
We've got a cheat meal.
Yeah. For them. Yeah. Right. Not for Shay.
Matt Spaeth and Corey Wooten, our guests here on Bears All Access. When we come back, here's what we're going to do, because there's a lot of good football stuff to talk about as well, including, they always say it starts up front with the Bears' defensive line, and it certainly has this year. And what does being the wild card on offense mean for Matt Spaeth? It's not my... I didn't say it. Jay Cutler did. So if he's saying it and he's tossing out praise your way, that means you're doing something special out there. So we'll discuss what that is next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Along with Matt Spaeth and Corey Wooten, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Sabin with you here at Hallis Hall. Guys, it's time now to select the Gibson's Player of the Week, brought to you by Gibson's Bar and Steakhouse. The player we select will receive a $500 gift card to Gibson's. But for helping pick the player out, guys, there's some good news for you. Both of you get a $100 gift card to Gibson's, the best meal in town. You might want to give it to Shay just as a make good for everything that happened the other day. So here's what I need you guys to do. I need you guys to vote on the offensive player of the week against the Jaguars. Next week, we'll pick the defensive players from that game. I have a feeling that one of the guys at this table, Corey, will be in the running for that as well. All right, so here are the choices. Jay Cutler. You know, another steady game, managed the offense well, 88 passer rating. There was Brandon Marshall, 100 yards, had the touchdown, back-to-back weeks of 100 yards. Matt Forte busted out for 100 yards rushing. So who do you pick, Cutler, Marshall, or Forte? Discuss.
You know, it's tough. They all had three had great games. You know, you look at what the things we're able to do with Brandon Marshall, and, you know, we target him so much, and you know, it cannot be easy for a guy like that to keep working and getting open. And the guy just works so hard. Jay had an unbelievable game. I mean, he made some checks at the line that were just awesome. And, you know, he ended up throwing two touchdown passes on, you know, audibles at the line. Matt Forte, I mean, he graded out the highest, you know, on the offensive side. So it's hard to say, but I think if I had to vote, I'd go with Brandon Marshall.
Definitely. I'd probably say the same thing. Like Space said, all three people had great games. But Brandon Marshall is just, you know, it's crazy watching him, you know, the things he does every week, just the playmaker he is at receiver. And it just kind of shows what we've kind of been missing from this team and just what everything that he brings.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you because there's never – I mean, every catch that you see Brandon Marshall make, it's a high degree of difficulty catch because of the attention paid to him by the defense and usually the amount of pressure that's taking place as well. So for him to – I think he's a game changer. I mean, that's what he does. He changes is, yeah. what your offense can do. So let's give it to Brandon Marshall. I'm sure he'll be very happy when one of you guys present him with a $500 gift card to Gibson's. And, of course, you guys get also a $100 gift card each to Gibson's, the best meal in town. Let's start right there with Brandon Marshall, because I think he also, Corey, affects the way you guys go about practicing. I mean, really, since the offseason, you guys have never had this kind of a player to work against. It brings out the best out of both sides of the ball.
Oh, definitely. You know, you see guys like Tim Jennings and, you know, Charles Tillman just going against him every day in practice and seeing the battles that they had in OTAs and training camp and just practice. So it's great to see, you know, how much he picks up their level of play.
Yeah, and Charles Tillman, NFC Defensive Player of the Week this week with the back-to-back. How in the world is it? Do you realize, let's just put this in the easiest way for people to understand. During the three-game winning streak that the Bears have had, guys, 35 points have been because of the defense. The opposing teams have combined for a total of 27.
That's unbelievable. I mean, the fact that those two guys scored in back-to-back weeks, it's like, you know, when they say, you know, lightning strikes twice, and that was lightning striking twice right there.
It's never happened. In the history of the NFL, it's never happened where two teammates in consecutive weeks have had pick sixes.
That's
it's
awesome.
Crazy. and a lot of people may say, hey, that's lucky. But if you watch the video of those plays, it's not luck. I mean, for example, against the Cowboys, you know, there was Tillman understanding that there was a miscommunication between the quarterback and the receiver, putting himself in a position to catch the ball and take it to the house, you know, and then the blocks that were set up for Briggs in Dallas for him to score the touchdown. And then this past week against Jacksonville, same kind of stuff happened.
Exactly. You know, they're always out there making plays. You know, Briggs is definitely, I think, one of the most underrated linebackers in the league. And Tillman, I think he's very underrated at the corner position. You know, just the things he does on a weekly basis in this league is unbelievable. You know, this year I think he did 30 interceptions and 30 forced fumbles. So
in his career, he's got 32 picks and 30 forced fumbles. There's
incredible.
Only one guy since 1990 who's done that. That was Brian Dawkins, who just had his number retired by the Eagles. So that gives you an idea of the rare territory that Charles Tillman is in.
And these guys, I mean, every single day we're out at practice are working the turnover game. And anytime the ball hits the ground, whether it's an incomplete pass, the coaches are screaming, you know, pick it up, get it, run it back, different things like that. So every time in practice that ball hits the ground, they are looking to pick it up and run and score. So I think it just kind of shows that they work hard at it every day, and it's showing up on the field.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns by the defense this season, and the defense has only given up 5 touchdowns on the season. I mean, that's a heck of a statement by the entire Bears organization to be able to do that. Now, offensively, is it safe to say, you know, we talked about Brandon Marshall, Matt, and we talked about what Matt Forte did last week, but I don't think you guys have even scratched the surface of what you can be as an offense just yet.
No, I mean, we're growing every week, and we're not a finished product, and we never will be. And, you know, our first year with Coach Tice as a coordinator, and we're all learning every week. And I think you've seen it every week. We've kind of grown and we're able to do more and kind of figure out our identity and see who we're going to be and, like, what we're going to be. And that takes time sometimes. And I think every week we're getting, you know, more and more out of the offense.
Talking football here with Matt Spaeth and Corey Wooten of the Bears here on Bears All Access. I thought Tice said something really interesting this week about how, and you kind of mentioned it, how Jay was able to manage the line very well and call out those audibles. He said that you guys are going to use more red ball, I believe it's called, the no-huddle offense that you guys use. Can you take us through, especially in that game against Jacksonville, kind of give us an idea of, you know, in real time, what Cutler was doing that helped you guys win?
Well, we went out with the idea where we can do red, what we call red ball or no huddle. We can do it in, you know, really any different personnel group, and we can pretty much run our whole offense through red ball or code words. And we decided to go out there and do a, you know, like a two tight end set, and he did a great job. And the times that we had a run call, we have checks so we can get into pass plays, and he just did a great job of managing, you know, taking what the defense was giving us.
And Tyson encourages that, right? I think it's because he played, so he kind of understands when you're out there. He played your position as a tight end. Just kind of the understanding that if you're down there as a quarterback, you see what the defense is doing, and the play that was called doesn't quite fit what they're doing, you just change it up like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not going to run the ball into, you know, a stacked box. And if they got more guys down in the box than we do, it doesn't make sense to run the ball, and that's kind of where we're getting to.
And you have to earn trust, though, doing it. Because if you call the wrong play when you audible, if you change out of something and it doesn't work, then you don't earn the coach's trust.
Right, but he's done a great job of it all year.
And so far, it's working. The Bears looking good at 4-1. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, oh, there's a lot to discuss, including prior to this season, Corey Wooten was best known for one play.
I remember.
Play in his NFL career. It's a big play.
I watched it.
Yeah, it happened at his alma mater. We'll explain next. Right here on Bears All Access with Spaeth and Wooten on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Kane is in the building.
Join the Bears for a ladies' night out at Soldier Field on October 29th. Meyer Football 101 presented by Chase. Visit ChicagoBears.com to purchase tickets. Zach Sabin with you from Hallis Hall. Pleased to be joined by some big guys. Matt Spaeth, Corey Wooten. You know, I believe in high school, Spaeth was a big-time basketball star. Right? Am I right on this?
That's what I heard. I heard, you know, he was the man in high school, him and Chris Humphreys.
No, you grew up in Minnesota, right? I mean, that was around the same time.
Yeah, I grew up. I love basketball. It was my first love kind of growing up. I played it all the time. I played it year-round, and I stopped playing basketball during football season. And I was kind of dreamed of being a professional basketball player, but obviously when it came down to it, I was a much better football player than I was basketball player.
Right. Your dad played football, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, it was kind of in the genes, but, you know, and man, the hits that you take, though, in football. If you could, I'm sure you'd go back and try to play basketball professionally.
Well, yeah, if I was seven, you know, if I had, a little bit taller, I'd definitely try to play basketball. These guys make a lot more money and take a lot less abuse.
Now, did you play against Chris Humphreys?
You know what? We played it, yeah, a little bit. I never played him in actual organized, like, high school, but in, like, the AAU. He was actually a year younger than me, but he played up a lot because he was so good. And I know him from college. We were at college at the same time, and my roommate was a high school teammate of his, so, yeah.
So when we go TMZ here, you know, because he did go to Minnesota, for people who don't know, would you ever have thought, just based on the little bit that you know him, that he would be married for 72 days to a mega reality star?
No, I would have never guessed it.
Now, did you play basketball, Corey?
Yeah, I did growing up. But I stopped playing after my sophomore year just to focus on football. So I always loved basketball, but once, the high school that I went to was so prestigious in football that it
Don
just made
Bosco
me want to
prep, yeah.
Yeah, it just made me want to stop playing basketball. So.
Yeah, and it worked out quite well for you when you were able to play football, because, man, this guy, Corey, has been through, the injuries, the injury list is unreal here. What, 2005 neck injury, right? Mm-hmm. Then there was, and in the meantime, when you were healthy, I mean, you were dominating at Northwestern, you know, leading tackler, sack leader, all that kind of stuff. Then there was that knee injury in the Alamo Bowl. Mm-hmm. How much did that just set you back in terms of what you wanted to do?
That was really tough, just because I had a great year that year, and I was possibly contemplating coming out early.
They were talking potentially first round pick.
Yeah, and then so I knew after that I would have to come back for my senior season, and kind of fought my way through it, you know, gimping around, really
Did you suffer an ankle injury?
Yeah.
That when you did come back,
I suffered a high ankle sprain, and then on the same leg, so it was just. It was just all bad, and didn't put the tape that I wanted out there. And, the first year in the league, wasn't really active that much. And then, the second year I came into training camp, had a good training camp, and then unfortunately got the knee injury, and then kind of struggled last season, broke my hand. And then, this year I knew this had to be a big year for me to come out and really show them what I could do.
And I kept saying this on the radio that during training camp, both years, both last year and this year, you were a top-notch performer among the upper echelon of the defensive players in terms of what you were doing in camp, but just people couldn't see it because you were never healthy by the time the regular season rolled around. But in the meantime, you found a way to end Brett Favre's career. So there was some kind of plus to what you were doing. It happened in Minnesota, TCF Bank Stadium. Remember when the roof collapsed at the Metrodome? Mm-hmm. Bears had to go. Matt Spaeth made a call. They ended up playing at his college.
I allowed it.
That was a huge game. I mean, that was the Bears clinched the NFC North that day. It was a monumental game. Devin Hester had a big game. And
the legend of Corey Wooten.
Yeah. But how much did you get upset while you were going through the injuries a year later? The people keep saying, how about that sack on Brett? That's the only thing he was known for.
Exactly. You know, I didn't want to be known just for that. So I just wanted to work hard and, you know, really be able to contribute this year. And, you know, so far with the rotation that we have nowadays, you know, with Shea and myself coming in for Izzy and Pep, it's been good. And the D-line, D-tackles are rotating as well. So it's been good all across the board.
4 = 1 is the big motto that the Bears rushmen have in their room by Rod Marinelli. And I think health is a major part of it, not just during games, but the fact that you, Paya, all these guys, you know, Melton, you're all able to practice together. That kind of allows you to understand the way teams are going to attack Julius Peppers, which creates the openings for the big numbers that you guys have put up.
Oh, exactly. You know, Coach always says, you know, just working together as one, like you said, 4 = 1. And, you know, we get that through practice. And, you know, Coach Marinelli, you know him. He's as hard on us, you know, especially the younger guys like myself, Paya, Shea, you know, Henry, just to get us going, because he sees the, you know, ability and talent in us and just wants to get the best out of us.
And it makes life easier for the offense when, you know, that not only can the defense get you the ball back quickly, but they can put points on the board. That's got to be – not many teams have that luxury.
No, they don't. And, you know, even, you know, with our defense scoring like they have the last few weeks, and I've had, you know, people from the outside ask me, like, oh, is it tough knowing that, you know, your defense is almost scoring as much as your offense and this and that? And I said, not at all. I mean, football is the ultimate team game, and I don't care how we score or what happens as long as we win at the end of the game, and that's what it's all about. They're, you know, they can pick us up, and hopefully there'll be times where we're going to pick them up.
Right, and you guys have not even scratched the surface of what you can be offensively, and there's a lot more firepower now than at any point that – you know, people have watched the Bears play in a very long time. And then no one's really talking about this. You know, Devin Hester's going to get a couple before the end of the year on special teams. So it's there are going to be other aspects to this team. And you've been on a team, Matt, that has won a championship. Do you see elements that you can kind of compare with what's happening here to when you won it with the Steelers?
I mean, you look at our team right now, and all three phases are, you know, are either performing great or on the verge of performing great. And that's what it takes. And, you know, it's early in the season. And the thing about the NFL is it's a long year. And you don't need to be hot right now. I mean, you need to be playing well, but you need to be always getting better and getting better. And hopefully we'll be hot at the end of the season when it matters. And you know, maybe that's going to be when the special teams turns it on. But we got a guy like Devin Hester. We talked about it today. Our special teams coach, Dave Tobe, was like, you know, our offense, we know what our offense can do. You've seen what our defense has been doing, you know, and now it's time for the special teams to kind of start pulling their weight. And once that happens, it's going to be scary.
That's a great point, because you start to take a look at some of the teams over the last 5 years that have won the championship. It's teams that kind of took off after Thanksgiving. You know, they might have stumbled. Like your Pittsburgh team kind of stumbled a little bit mm-hmm. early on before things kind of clicked. You saw last year the Bears started out 7-3, and injuries kind of decimated you guys in the final month. It's about being right at the right time.
I say it all the time. There's a lot that goes into getting to and win a Super Bowl. It's being healthy. It's being lucky. It's being hot at the right time. It's all that stuff.
We got to take a break, but before we do, what does this Jay Cutler saying that Matt Spaeth is the wild card of the offense mean?
I'll have to think about it.
Oh, come on. I mean, I know that, you know, Lovie Smith has said in the past that Kellen Davis can do what all the good tight ends in the league can do. But to have the quarterback of this team come out and praise the job that you're doing, that means you can block in a variety of different scenarios. You provide a target if need be. I mean, that's high praise. It means you understand this offense back and forth.
Yeah, it is high praise, and I appreciate the praise, and it's great. But at the same time, you know, I'm not a guy that I don't need to be patted on the back all the time. I love my job. I love playing football. I love being out there, and I'll do whatever they ask me to do, and as long as we're winning, I'm happy.
See, and he's not just saying that. He actually means it, and that's why a lot of people inside that Bears locker room like number 89, Matt Spaeth. Along with Corey Wooten, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access. When we come back, one of the highest-rated segments of the show. It's called Are You a Bears Authority? Both of you guys have played before. It's time to play again when we return on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. When the hip-hop starts blasting through the speakers of the radio, Corey Wooten and Matt Spaeth get down, and thankfully this is a radio show and you don't get an opportunity to see it. Zach Zaidman with you here on Bears All Access, and it's time now to play Are You a Bears Authority? Brought to you by Sports Authority. It's real simple. I ask you guys a question. If you know the answer, all you have to do is hit the buzzer that's in front of you. It sounds like this. Very simple. As soon as the first one goes up, I will call on that person. Whoever has the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. Here's how it works. When I call on you, if you get it right, we move on to the next question. If you get it wrong, the other guy has an opportunity to answer the question. So, make sure that you're constantly thinking, even if you're not the guy who hit the buzzer. Matt, you're going to be playing for Megan McGann of Chicago. And Corey, you're going to be playing for Justin Zubrod of Chicago. And if you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game, it's real simple. Go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our previous shows. Ready? It's going to get competitive here because you got two smart guys, Big Ten guys in the room, Big Ten brains. All right, here we go. Question one. Who is the only player on the current Bears roster whose last name starts with the letter D?
Matt. Kellen Davis.
Correct.
Woo!
Because I know Corey was going through the Rushman room. That's where you start. And he's like, no Peppers, no Melton, no. All right, question number two. Who is the only player on the Bears' current roster who played his college ball at Notre Dame? Matt.
Armando Allen.
Oh, wow. Matt Spaeth taking a commanding 2-0 lead over Corey.
This thing's not working.
Which means, let's try it. Hit it right now. Let's see.
Look.
There you go. It does work. So Justin Zubrod, who's listening to the show, wondering what's Corey doing. He's just not quick enough on the draw. All right, here we go. Remember, it's all about, reading the snap count. Question three. Where did Bears offensive punter, as opposed to the other?
What? You don't even know the question.
Maryland.
And Matt is correct. Oh, my goodness. All right, let me give you an idea of how hot Matt Spaeth is. The fire department has just come in here to make sure that he doesn't burn down Hallis Hall. Corey Wooten is in a lot of trouble here. This would be a monumental comeback. I do want to point out that since 2010, the Bears are 19-1 when leading after three quarters. Matt Spaeth has a 3-0 lead over Corey Wooten here. All right. So Corey needs a miraculous comeback. Question number four. Which current Bears receiver played at a Big Ten university? Corey.
I'm going to go with Dane Sansabacher.
Oh, I didn't think he was going to get there.
All right. I'm thinking for a second, I'm like, whoa.
Yes, Sansabacher went to Ohio State. And you know what Lovie Smith says, that those Ohio State guys are able to pick up everything very quickly. All right, question number five. Again, Matt, a 3-1 lead. If he gets this right, Matt Spaeth wins the game. Question five. Which current Bears linebacker played at a Big Ten? Corey.
Nick Roach.
Correct.
College teammate.
Yes.
Let's go.
He played at Northwestern. Oh, we're watching a comeback here. Ooh. It's 3-2, suddenly tied after Spain had a 3-0 lead. Question number six. We go defense here. How many interceptions does Bears defensive back DJ Moore have? Corey.
One.
Incorrect. Want me to continue the question?
Yeah,
how many interceptions does Bears defensive back DJ Moore have in his NFL career? It started back in 2009.
Oh, boy.
Dang, I wish I had noticed.
Seven?
Incorrect. The correct answer was nine, which means he's surpassed your expectations. Yeah. Very good. All right, question number seven. Whew. This is for Matt to take the win or for Corey to just keep the game alive. Question seven. Who currently leads the Bears in sacks this season?
Henry Melton.
Corey has tied the game. Rallying. This is unbelievable. You got the offensive questions right. I mean, you got Kellen Davis and Armando Allen early. All right, so we got to go to our tiebreaker now. Ready? All right. Here we go. All I'm looking for is the closest number, all right? The closest number wins. How many tackles did Lance Briggs have last season? Corey.
100. 115.
All right. Now Matt gets a chance to guess.
We're going closest.
Closest.
Is it Price of Right? The Price is Right rules?
Yes. Can't go over. Closest. You can go over. Really? All right. I looked at the judge.
Changes my strategy.
Okay. The bottom line is just get as close as you can mathematically to that number.
Corey said 115.
Yeah.
116.
And guess who wins? Matt Spaeth.
Yeah. What?
The correct answer, and boy, if Briggs is listening to this, he's going to be mad at both of you. He had 147.
Oh, shoot.
In 115.
That's
cool. I mean, that's Lance maybe in college.
I was playing strategy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a smart move. All right, so what a competitive game. It's been a long time since we had to go to the tiebreaker. So because Matt Spaeth ended up beating Corey Wooten, that means Megan McGann, and she should write you a thank you letter, gets the gift certificate to Sports Authority. Want to thank you guys for playing Are You a Bears Authority, brought to you by Sports Authority. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we will talk some football, and also we'll get into, we heard that Corey Wooten played a little basketball before focusing in on football. But basketball is never far away from his life. We'll explain why next, right here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I want to remind you the Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's is your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, along with Matt Spaeth and Corey Wooten. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears coming off the big back-to-back-to-back wins, heading into the bye week 4-1. Huge Monday night showdown against Detroit next week. Now, when you look overall at the way the season has gone, after that Green Bay game, what needed to change for you guys to be put in the position you are right now?
I think it was just kind of a wake-up call for us. And I think all offseason we talked about, you know, some of the additions. I'm speaking offensively anyways, you know, the additions that we made and, you know, maybe how awesome we were going to be and different things like that. And after that Green Bay game, it was kind of a wake-up call that, hey, like, we have the potential, but it ain't just going to happen. And we got to make things happen, and we got to prepare, and we got to play physical, and we got to run the ball and different things. So I think it was just more of a wake-up call to us.
Tice has said that he felt that as a line, the offense was as physical as it's been in his time here in that game against Jacksonville. And he said what that enables you to do as an offense, now you put yourself in manageable third down and second down situations to move the chains. It's simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you look at percentages throughout the NFL, and, you know, third and three is much more attainable than, you know, third and nine. I mean, the numbers are, I don't know what they exactly are, but you got a pretty good chance of converting third and three, and you have a pretty bad chance of converting, you know, anything over 7 yards because, you know, defenses can bring pressure and you know, and play man-to-man coverage and different things like that and force you to get the ball out of your hand and make plays. So, we have to we kind of preached doing a much better job on first down and second down and you know, getting ourselves into manageable third downs.
You know what amazes me, and this is not a knock on your ability to protect, but you just happen to be, you've been teammates now with two of the top three quarterbacks who've been sacked the most over the last few years in the NFL in Ben Roethlisberger and Jay Cutler. To me, and Corey can speak to this a little bit too, every time he's out there, you're looking to take the quarterback out of the game. I mean, you're looking to get him to get rid of the ball before he wants to. You're looking to plant him to the ground. And when you see the toughness that both Roethlisberger and Cutler show on a game-to-game basis, I mean, that's not easy to do to kind of keep your wits about you when seemingly everything's falling apart.
Yeah, but, you know, it's guys like that, the tough guys that will, you know, stand in the pocket and just stand and deliver and make plays and guys that'll, you know, play through injuries just like you are out there. Because, you know, we, the O-line, the tight ends, everybody's playing, you know, such a physical position. And you're always playing banged up. And when you see guys like that play banged up, you know, it's just, it's extra motivation to play hard for them. And you're like, you know, we got a quarterback, our leader out there that'll stand in there and take the hit or tuck it. And, you know, after this week, he tucked it and ran a couple times and took hits. And it's like you want to play with and you want to play for guys like that.
Now, are you looking – when you hit the quarterback, what's the most satisfying feeling? Can you tell when you really got him, when you hurt him?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, for us at least, is getting the sack fumble. That's what our coach, he'd rather us do that than have a huge hit on the quarterback.
Yeah, you're looking for the ball. Strip
because
that ball
away. We can get the ball back, and, you know, it's definitely a turnover. It's the biggest thing that we can do, you know. Interceptions happen every now and again, but sack fumble is the greatest goal in our D-line room, at least.
So it's not just – so there's an art to it. I mean, when you're going after the quarterback, you're looking for the arm.
Yes, and that's how we finish on the bag drill every day. That, you know, you see us in camp and practice. We always have a, you know, like a fake arm.
Yeah, I've always wanted – oh, that's what that's for. Okay, that makes sense.
He always wants us to strive for the sack fumble every time we go.
Yeah, but occasionally, if you have a clean shot, Are you going for it?
I mean, sometimes it's just instinct, you know. You want to go for the sack fumble, but then you just hit him, and afterwards you're like, man, I should have went for the ball. I could have got it. Because when you go for the ball, sometimes if you were just wrapped him up, you wouldn't have been able to get him. You can use your length and tap a ball that you may not have been able to get to. Because once you get the ball out, it's a sack. So.
And then, Matt, on the other side, when the quarterback gets hit and doesn't lose the ball, but gets hit hard, and you know he's trying to collect himself, do these guys ever get really mad inside the huddle at the – because, you know, remember, there's a game going on. You can't stop and reflect on what just happened. You got to move forward, get that next play. Does it ever get dicey there with the quarterback? Because the human instinct is, if I hit you hard, you're going to be mad, especially if you know that that guy didn't do his job. I'm not talking about on the sideline now. I'm talking about during the actual huddle. Because we've seen an example of that after everything is done. I'm talking about when – in the middle of a drive.
Oh, sure. Why wouldn't he be? I mean, he's out there trying to make plays, and, you know, it's the O-line and tight end and running back's job to protect him. And if you're not doing your job, he can't do his job. So I'm sure he does get mad.
Has that happened to you? Not necessarily here, maybe with Pittsburgh, college, whenever.
Not that I can really remember of. You know, I take really great pride. That's probably one of the biggest things I probably take the most pride in is – when I'm out there and ask to pass protect is not getting my quarterback hit. And when, you know, maybe it's not a sack, but maybe it's late after he delivers. And if your guy ever touches him, like, that really, really makes me mad is when my guy even gets closer, gets to touch the quarterback.
Yeah, and linemen feel the same way. I think, you know, no one's looking to get their quarterback hit, but it's part of the game.
Those guys are great players. You know, they get paid a lot of money to do what they do.
Yeah,
so
like,
it's just going to happen.
You love the internal conflict.
Oh no, definitely. I was gonna comment on, you know, he's definitely, you know, one of the best blockers in the league that I've gone against, and going against him in practice and, you know, just seeing what he can do, pass protecting and, you know, run blocking, it makes me better, you know. So then we go against other people, it's like, wow, you know, like going against a great tight end like him.
What's the key? Is it knowledge? Is it understanding exactly what the defense is going to do based on the game situation for the offense? Or is it simply technique?
It's all of it. It's technique. It's knowing, you know, what they might be doing, knowing their tendencies. And then there's always, you know, in every play there's worst case scenario. You always got to take away worst case scenario. You know, if I'm manned up on Corey in practice, like, I can't let him beat me inside, because if he goes inside, that's the closest, most direct route to the quarterback. So you want to shut down the inside, and then also obviously not just let him go right around you. So there's a lot to it.
Could you possibly beat – well, think about this. Chew on this as we take the break here. Could you, Matt, you know, a very high-level basketball player at the high school level, could you beat Corey Wooten's wife in one-on-one? We'll discuss next right here on Bears All Access.
I'll tell you right now, no.
Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears Insider brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and Bears head coach Lovie Smith. There's Monday nights at 7 p.m. on our sister station, News Radio 780 WBBM and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, with Matt Spaeth and Corey Wooten here on Bears All Access here at Hallis Hall. I'm Zach Zaidman. All right, so before the break, you said no, and I understand why, but for people who don't know, Corey is married to former DePaul star basketball player Felicia Chester. That's what she played under when she was at DePaul, and she's pretty good. I mean, they had a lot of success with the Blue Demons when she was there.
Oh yeah, she's definitely good. We've actually played before, but it always gets
heated, doesn't it?
Gets heated, so we stay out of that. Last time I was in the doghouse for a while, so I just said, you know, we'll just I'll just watch you play in this.
You know, I've never seen you know, Corey's wife play basketball, but I've heard she's very good. And I said no, because obviously she is very good, and my basketball days are long behind me. And there's been times where you kind of stroll into the gym and pick up a basketball and you try to shoot around, and it's just not the same as it used to be.
It's funny, though, because, you know, basketball is a big part. I know Lovie Smith has season tickets to the Bulls. You know, Julius Peppers is the Jack Nicholson of the Miami Heat. I mean, he's there. I mean, every time they play in the playoffs, you see him right there with a pastel-colored shirt. No one's going to make fun of him because he's jacked. But, I mean...
It'd be bad for your health.
Would you say you guys probably don't even play as teammates, you know, at any point basketball against one another?
I stay away from it just because, you know, this is our job and this is our career, and I never want to, you know, do anything stupid, whether it's in the off season or, you know, playing basketball or do anything like that that's going to, you know, jeopardize my career.
So with that, I mean, you got to say that DJ Moore always likes to say that he's the best basketball player on the team, but, you know, he's shorter than me. And I know he was good in high school, but Pep played it at UNC. He was a North Carolina big forward. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't think you can get any better than that. I don't know too many guys that can play, you know, such a high level and, you know, balance both. He played, you know, basketball there and football. That's pretty impressive. Not too many people that can do that.
And I'm pretty sure we joke about this every time we talk about Pep on the show, that I don't think there's a position on the football field that he can't play. If he chose to play, if he wanted to be a left tackle, a quarterback, a running back, a safety, a defensive back of any kind, I think he could do it. He's that gifted.
Physically, I think he could probably do anything right? He wants ever in any situation. I
mean, and think about that. I mean, you're talking about you guys are, you know, at the highest level of what you guys do to have that kind of praise for another player. I mean, that says a lot about
it. We joke around. I don't even know if the guy sweats.
Like, that's what everyone says.
Like, I don't know if I've ever seen him sweat. He just goes out and just dominates people and walks off the field and goes. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, what does he do? Like, he just shows up and dominates people. That's all I know him as.
God has blessed him with, you know, just freakish athleticism and size and strength. And, you know, I don't even think he ever works out, lifts. I think he's just genetically just gifted, you know?
It is something else. Ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered during the Bears Game Night live TV broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you will receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card. So use the hashtag BearsToyota. And the thing is, you talked about this earlier, Matt, is that Peppers plays a position, you know, on the interior where you're constantly banged up. It's been well documented. There's some things that are bothering him. And yet, you know, if you flip on the video, you can't tell. If you're an opponent, you're like, there's nothing wrong with him.
Right. I don't see it. I mean, I see him. You know, you hear about it and you see him take some time off of practice every once in a while, but when he's out there, he's the best. So,
I heard Phil Emery say the other day that he's a Jay Cutler fan, and we joked a little bit about, you know, the intensity that takes place. When you have a team, and explain to people during the middle of a game, just the you know, there are a lot of emotions and a lot of things that get said because the game, you have to be intense to play it. You know, you can't go out there and play. You know, in baseball, if you have that kind of attitude, I don't think you're going to be successful because you have to have a clear mind. In football, I think you got to have that emotion and channel it correctly.
Yeah, well, none of us would be here if we didn't have like that fire, that drive, that emotion, and that desire to be the best or be a part of the best. And that's what, you know, our quarterback has.
It's amazing to me that, and I think now because of some of the quote-unquote incidents, the camera is just on him. When you guys play, do you ever worry about what you're going to look like on the sidelines if you show frustration, if you're happy, if you're – you know what I mean? You don't have to think about that usually.
No. Sometimes it's kind of funny, like you sit on the sideline if, like to say the defense is out there for a while. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, most of the time you talk football, but there's times where you drift from talking about football and you'll be talking about things and you're like, gosh, I hope nobody was listening to that.
I know, like they had any, you know.
Hope the boom mic wasn't behind me right there.
Like, what the heck is he talking about?
Have you learned anything from the, you know, because I asked Cutler this after the Jacksonville game. You know, are you happy that, you know, you're going to go through a week that's drama-free? And he started laughing. He goes, I don't know, they might have caught me spit on, you know, I might have spit on something and I didn't even realize that I was doing it. That's just the nature of the beast, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just crazy how, you know, all eyes are on him at all times. So, Yeah, it's just crazy. It's not like that, you know, with any other player. I think, you know, they kind of pinpoint him a little bit. So
that's why they say there's no more important of a position in team sports. All right, before we say goodbye, 11 games to go once you get out of the bye. How do you get to a point where you're kind of streaking at the right time late in the year?
I think you just got to work every week and approach every week the same and try to get better. And, you know, once you get late in the season, things start to get a little bit mundane, but you can't start to, like, you know, take a back seat to working technique and working things that you work on so hard in the beginning of seasons, because you always got to be making improvements.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, you know, our coach always strives is just fundamentals and technique, because as the season goes on, you know, you can't be as physical with practice. You know, we're not many padded practices, so you got to focus on your footwork, your hands, your feet, and, you know, just really focus on that.
So far, so good. Corey Wooten, Matt Spaeth, enjoy the bye week. Zach Sabeman saying so long. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Sports Authority and has been sponsored by Toyota and Verizon.